please. And let me come through that door one more time. You know, he's given me the truth, and he's given me ears to hear. And he's let me see all his secrets and everything that people's been looking for all these years and never could find it. You know, and he's just, every trial, every tribulation, everything I go through, he goes through it with me. Because he said he would never leave me nor forsake me because he's in me. And I just want you to pray for my stepdaughter. She's got pancreatic cancer. Right now it's contained in the tumor, and so far it hasn't spread. And she's got to start chemo, and then after chemo she gets surgery, and then she's got to take chemo again. And then my grandson, he's got a blood disease, and he's on chemo. So I just ask you to keep him in prayer.
God bless you. You know, I was thinking, you know, on the way here, I was like, you know, maybe I shouldn't get up early. You know, I don't want to make it a habit. But then I realized, you know, in the Bible,
come on,
you never saw anybody say, well, maybe I should take a seat.
No, forget
it.
They got it started.
I have to say.
Come on.
I have to say. Now, I was thinking today about the miracles of God.
Yeah.
I was thinking about sometimes we take it so for granted. You know, I see my nieces, miracles.
Amen.
Doctors say that they should not have been here.
Come on.
I see a little miracle right there. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Your loved ones to be healed.
Come on.
Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing.
Small favor.
Children's bread.
Thank you,
Lord,
Jesus.
You know, I come in here. I want to raise my hands.
Amen.
I want to thank God. He's been too good to me. Again, another day, he's given me breath. So I'm going to give it back to him. I want to be a willing vessel.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
I want to move out of the way. Lord, that's what my new prayer is. It's like,
that's
Lord,
right.
I woke up. Take these hands and let them do your work.
Yes.
Because I really understand, it's not my will. It's never my will.
That's right.
That old man died.
Yeah, he did.
I never understood what that revelation was.
Amen.
It's his will.
Yes.
It's his, he will be manifested through us. So as I walk this life, I understand now who I am.
Okay.
And when you understand who you are, nothing can take you away from that.
Exactly so.
Because they talk about being a tree planted by the water.
Yeah.
You got to kind of know what kind of tree you are. Not all trees are made equal.
Amen.
Some trees
come on.
Are a little weaker than others.
Ooh, testify.
Right. I'm a mighty tree.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay.
I'm a last voice.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm going to be the one that says something.
Oh,
I want to participate. This is my service.
Yes.
The front part is my service.
Yes.
I don't want it to go by and let it be like,
what are
you
doing your service?
You know, it's, you know, Lord, I won't go back.
No, I won't go back. No.
I've got too much.
We don't draw back.
My God is a mighty God. You know, and I thought about making a joyful noise. I want to sing, this is the day.
Yes, yes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. Yeah.
But I will ask that we get some words, because that's about the only thing I know is this is the day.
All right, sir.
All right.
Amen.
This is the day.
This is the day.
I don't want to take anything home. You know, Amen. You sing loud enough, your voice goes crack.
Yeah.
I know that's right.
What am I going to take home?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, for so many years, I expected the preacher to get up. I expected him to put his body on the line.
Come on. Right.
I want to put my body on the line. I want to sing till it hurts. Clap my hands till they're red. Raise my hands till they're sore.
Yes. Yes.
What am
yes.
I going to take home?
Yes.
To God the glory.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about life Amen. This morning, how that, you know, you can't keep life down.
Amen.
You know, if there's life there to come out. I was thinking about the world, how that the world, you know, has gone through, you know, type of the believer, and how it's gone through, you know, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, and everything, and how that, you know, there's storms all over the world. There's tsunamis, there's earthquakes, there's volcanoes, you know, just everything. But you get to have a chance. It blooms right back out. Forest fire, give it half a chance, it'll bloom right back out, you know. Destruction, total death. You know, wipe it off, mankind.
Yeah.
Oh, in a millennium, it'll bloom right back out. And I think, you know, the believer, we suffer total death. You know, burn out that old nature, but that life that's born in us, it come right back out, and we just live and rejoice. And I was thinking about just, you know, enjoying our salvation, you know. You see Christians out here, so-called, and they just down. They can't smile. They got so, you know, they got all their tradition. They're burdened down so much. I think, no, not me.
No.
Not me. I enjoy life. You know, I ran a tough mudder yesterday, and I was rough, but I flat enjoyed it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all cut up, screwed, you know, scratched up and sore and everything else, but I enjoyed it because I was with my son.
Amen.
And we were just having a blast. And just enjoying life, you know.
Yes.
I don't like unfounded fears.
Come on.
You know, if it's a fear, I'll check it out. If it's, if it's just Satan, I want to overcome that thing.
That's
I want
right.
to get past that thing.
That's right.
You know, if it's a founded fear, you know, it's wisdom to use. You know,
right,
you don't
right.
jump out of an airplane without a parachute. You know, you don't, you know, things like that. But, you know, if there's something to enjoy, I want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I want life to the fullness.
Yes.
You know, and that's all God wants. It's just life to his fullness through his bride. So I'm thankful for life.
Me.
Amen.
Go ahead.
You know, it's hard to get a praise in here.
Hold on. I want to change it up over here. I see something happening. I want to let Kentucky get in here and testify first.
Amen.
And then after that, I'm going to give my announcements because I know it's going to get crazy in here. So I'm going to protect things. I'm going to lead things and guide things.
Traffic
come on, Kentucky.
Amen.
That's how it works.
You know, I would have done been up here, but I didn't see this mic because I was sitting over there and I thought,
Amen.
Well, I want to praise God,
Amen.
But
Amen.
I don't see the microphone. Yes, you know, sir. I'll wait till they bring it out, and then Brother Mike got up. I thought, oh, there it is. But I thank God so much.
Amen.
I was just burning. I was just wanting to bust open. You know that God has given me such a desire.
Yes.
To That's love this word.
Amen.
And from where he's brought me from.
Yes.
And for everything.
Yeah.
He's done so much for me.
Oh,
so that's all I want to say is praise God for what he's done Amen. For me.
Amen. Brother Hicks. Amen.
I truly want to praise God for being here.
Amen.
And it's wonderful to know what I know, to understand what I understand.
Amen.
And I just thank God for it. I can look back over my life and see so many things
that I never
even looked at before.
Right.
You know, and he's just wonderful. That's
yes.
all I can say. He's just
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen. Let me get these announcements out of the way real quick. So August 6th, we have a picnic. On the 5th, before that, we have Sway's shower at 12 noon. On the 18th, we have, the wedding's on the 18th.
Did you forget that?
4:30. Don't
Amen.
Be late. September 9th, we've got that rodeo, the Hollow Rodeo on September 9th. The Foxhole. Fox Hollow.
Fox Hollow.
Yes. And then we got the, church pitchers. Definitely do not be late for this on September 10th. And then we got the bonfire at Caleb and Andrea's on the 29th.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Now can I go?
Sorry. Go ahead, sis.
Amen. I just want to thank God for being in the house of God today.
Amen.
I want to praise him for having life, health, strength,
yes,
revelation, and to know that the seals are open. We now know all things.
That's right.
What an hour this is. And you know what? You don't get out of anything if you don't put nothing into it. So I do want to give a song. Sister Chrissy, I thought you'd been up here already. I'm going to play this. You know, the Lord wants you to switch it up. So instead of playing the violin, I'm going to play the organ.
All right. Amen.
I'll play with anybody who will play with me.
Amen.
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 I'm going to sneak in real quick. I just want to thank God.
Yes.
You know, I've been battling something needlessly, and I just realized who I am. And, you know, I said, you know, that spirit isn't going to walk me out this door. I'll let, you know, it's got to go. Because, I got the word in me.
That's right.
And, you know, I can overcome this. I mean, I'm ordained to overcome.
Yes.
So, there's no questioning that. And I just thank God that I have that desire. I have that burning desire to be here with my brothers and sisters and to hear the word of God. And to accept it. You know, sometimes I'm a little thick-headed, and, you know, it might take me a minute to figure out what I'm doing, but you know what? Like you said, and then the light bulb comes on, I'm like, oh, silly me. But, you know, I just thank God for that desire. And Brother Seth, you said something about the tree that's planted by the water. You know, not all trees can withstand the water. You know,
right.
You've got trees that you know, thrive in a desert because that's where that, you know, that's what. That's the environment that they're used to. And then you got trees like mangroves that, you know, totally submerge in water, but, you know, they can handle that.
That's right.
And I want to be a tree that can handle the water because this is nothing. I mean, we've got rivers of flowing water in here.
Amen.
And, you know, this is where we get, you know, our drink, our thirst quenched. We come here, we hear the word, and we can go out rejoicing. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. Let me live my life, you know, that I can reflect you out there so that you get the glory, not me. There's nothing in me, but if they see anything, let them see God in
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all may be seated.
All right. I just have something to say real quick. I just want to say, you know, August 1st, which is Tuesday, marks the second year since I walked through these doors.
Amen.
And, I mean, I can just look back and just see the progression from I started off in that very back row, and I remember Brother Desmond used to count every time, and now look where I am. I'm up here. Never thought I would be playing the flute. Never thought I would be speaking in front of everybody,
my.
I can just look back and see the progression and what I've learned.
What a
testimony! I mean, just everything, you know. And it's just brought such a light in my life, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And so, on that note, I got some new stuff here I'm working with. I got a flute mic, so
you don't need that mic.
I don't think I do, but hopefully, it's loud enough when it comes in clear.
I didn't get it all out.
Amen.
Just lately, you know, you can walk with God for a long time and not realize you're doing something. And just, I've had an epiphany just lately. It's changed my life. It's changed the way I pray. You know what I found out? I just throwing stuff at God. He said, here, do this. No, what do you want me to do? And then expect it to happen. If you don't believe it, don't even ask it. Then I looked at myself and I said, Lord, do I really love you? Or do I just need you? Do I really love you? Somebody you love, you think about them all the time. You do everything you do for them, not for you. I realized that I've been living a selfish life all my life. I got up in the morning, I said, what I want to do today to make myself feel good, to have a good day, when actually the focus should be, Lord, what do you want? Like that song you sing, you know, I might request that. Not my will, but thine be done.
That's right.
Lord, saints, I'm not playing today.
Amen.
I'm not. It's nations are breaking. Everything is cutting loose. And we're the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
If I'm ever going to do anything for God, I'm 67 years old. I'm not promised to wake up tomorrow.
That's right.
Stuff, when it changes at a drop of a hat, just like that. I'm not going to be guilty not getting in here.
Yeah.
Something supernatural happens every time we get together. And I believe, and you best believe I'm going to be right in the middle.
Amen.
In fact, I'm a rock thrower. if it's quiet, if it gets too quiet, I'm going to throw something up. It's in you. All you got to do is stir it up.
Amen.
Don't start. Amen. I'm going to give God praise a little bit differently. Now,
amen.
This sister has been a blessing to me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting back there, and I, like I said, I play with anybody who'll play with me. I didn't grab Warren. I didn't grab brother over there. And I'm going to grab you in a little while. But it's time. It's time. We are the final voice of the final age. If you don't say it, it won't
come on.
Said. Okay,
that's where we're at.
I'm setting up right now.
Thinking about the true importance of a testimony, that you'll never know the person until they testify.
Oh my.
And how important that really is. Look at it. Look how long we had the scriptures in the Bible. Did not understand who Jesus was. Didn't understand him until 1963, when the testimony of Jesus Christ came forth and he told us who he was. After that, we understood exactly who he was.
That's right.
Who we are and everything. But no one understood that until he gave his testimony. What about you? What will we know about you, where you're standing, unless you give your testimony? That's how important it is. If Jesus had to come down and reveal himself through his testimony, so do you. It, just look at that.
Sure.
It is that important.
That's right.
Amen.
Sister Mel.
I'm actually reading my Bible. Good morning, church. There is just, I'm happy to be here. Let me say that first.
Yeah.
It's good to see everyone, and I'm going to try to get this out because the emotion is just this reverence for this word.
Oh, my.
And you all, the body of Christ in you. And so I get a little emotional.
That's all right.
But what I've been thinking about since South Carolina is, let me say this right. Have you received your last revelation since?
Your first one.
Your last revelation. Yeah. Have you received a revelation since your last revelation?
Okay.
And I have. And it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And those that read, hear, and keep his word.
Yes!
The time is at hand. And I made that personal to me. The time is at hand for me. And so I've been trying to pick up my Bible a little more, and I found something else I just want to share.
Amen,
sir. Just one little verse, maybe two. And it's Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Wait. Hold on. Yes, 19 and 20. I can't see now. But when they deliver us, so that, you know, God was talking to the disciples and giving them the defense to stand up to governors or whatnot. I'm paraphrasing. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak. Don't rehearse. He's going to get it for you. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speak in you, speaketh in you. And that just stood out for me because it's time to speak, buddy. If I can do it, you can do it. Because he has brought me a mighty long way, and I'm not turning back.
Brother Jim,
It's all on you. Amen. If you don't say it, it won't get done. You know, if God had come here in Jesus Christ and hadn't said a word, not one thing would have been completed. Not one thing would have been fulfilled. Just appreciate God. I had a quote I woke up this morning reading. I hadn't read this for a long time. And you know, got an opportunity to see Brother Jay yesterday. And that brother's an inspiration.
Amen.
You know, you look at everything he's been through, and he's still, you know, still positive, still holding his head up.
Amen.
You know, and he's been through a lot, and he'll tell a story when he gets back. But I was just thinking about, you know, woke up this morning, thinking about influence, Brother Warren, and how that what you do has an influence on others. Whether it's testifying or getting up like we're doing. And I would never want to go back to where we was.
Amen.
Ever. I mean, I'm enjoying this. Every service, like even today, I kind of chuckle. I'm thinking Isaiah's getting up there. I thought, Lord, you just change.
Right.
And we're moving and we're doing it. It's the evidence is right before your very eyes.
Amen.
But I'd read this many, many years ago, and I remember talking to Brother Moore about this, and he said, not there yet. And for whatever reason, God knows, it was on my heart this morning. I thought, where's that quote at? And I went back looking at it, and I found it.
Yes.
And I thought, look at the way God is.
Amen.
So I'm going to read this real quick. But, you know, Brother Bram's talking in influence. He says, think how great he is and how he holds the earth, this earth. Or one of those stars would move from its place millions and billions of miles away, it would affect this earth.
Yeah.
That whole solar system has to stay just in its place. And see, everything God made like that obeys God. But when God made man, man seems to want to know more than he does. You see, it's where the only ones out of place. Oh, my.
Wow.
That'll make you want to preach.
Wow.
It's a lot to it. They stay in place, and they have to stay in place to coordinate with each other. For instance, the moon. If the moon would ever move out of its place, the earth would be filled with water in moments. See, the moon is rather like a watchdog of the sea. He set its bounds that it can't pass. And when the moon turns from the earth, here comes the tide in. If the moon didn't catch it around the other side, it would cover the earth, see? So the moon stops, and he turns his back to look around the other side of the world, and here comes the waters coming in real fast. And then he turns again. He is Jehovah's servant.
Amen.
Sea stops and goes back to its place because it sees the perfect moving of Jehovah. Here's where it gets to, where Brother Moore said, we're not there yet, but Brother Moore, I think we got there. He said, if we in the church, as the members of the body of Christ, could only mm-hmm. work in harmony like that.
Yes.
Right.
You would see a great and mighty church.
My.
Of the living God. All in one array, filled with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Every member of the body functioning just exactly to its place. Every gift to its place. Every gift helping the other.
Yes.
Every member helping the other. That would be wonderful.
Yes.
That's what we want to see.
Oh, yes.
But we'll get it someday, Brother Branham said, if it be right. And I think we got there, Brother Moore.
Yeah.
I see the body moving like she's never moved before. You know, Brother Moore made a comment the other day. He said if it took Jay going through what he went through, as bad as it is to get us where we is, then you got to praise God. Because the one thing we do know is all things. And I love that. I hang on to that. I'll hang on to that. Everything's in me. All things work together for the good. Not everybody, but those that are called according to his purpose. God's got a purpose.
Yes.
And the influence that you have, if it'll affect the body, then it's worth everything you go through.
Amen.
It's worth every testimony. Yes. It's worth every song. Sure. It's worth every praise. You know, sitting back here, I thought, maybe I won't read it. But then I thought, why wouldn't I read it? Why wouldn't you read it? What would hold you back? It's everything we do is for the body.
Yes.
It's for the edifying of you. It's that you get something out of it. Right. Got to move us up just a little bit more, like Sister Mel reading that scripture.
Yes.
You are the spoken word of God.
That's right.
You're the very last voice is ever going to be. If you don't say it, it won't be spoken.
That's right.
If you don't give a testimony, God won't. There's nothing it can do. Even Jesus saying, search the scriptures. For in them you think you've got life. But they are that. Those scriptures, those Old Testament scrolls, everything they said were testifying of his very life. So that when he comes on the scene, he can look back, pull the word out of it, and said, you know, every man should not live by bread alone.
That's right.
But by every word. Where'd he get it from?
Amen.
He got that from the word, Brother Moore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He testified to them, said, it's me. I'm the one they was talking about. I'm the very life that they was talking about.
Amen.
I'm the one that came on to see, and he knew the scripture said that somebody had to hang on a tree. He knew that was a scripture. You read it the other day.
Yes.
Told my Peter, he said, you fell asleep again on me, Peter. What's going on?
Right.
But he knew his day was coming. He kept saying, you know, Lord, let this chalice pass from me. That's, you know, that's normal. That's all right. Like Don said, you'll go through storms, but they don't last.
Nope.
But we know our purpose. We know why we're here.
Amen.
We know what our job is. We know our one thing on our place, get the dead up. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, I'll continue speaking the word of God.
Yes.
Continue stepping out on it. Continue manifest the word, because that's simply what we do.
Amen.
You influence one another, brothers and sisters. What you do in this word, how you handle yourselves, on and on and on, has an influence on others. And I know we're never going to go back. It's too late for that. We're too far gone now. And I'm enjoying each and every moment. I'm enjoying each and every service.
Amen. Let me testify here real quick. You know, it's just like Brother Mike said on Wednesday night. You know, we pack the Word of God. Brother Jim, you just saw that. He packed that all the way back here because it's for us. It's all of our testimony. So when you sit on God, you're sitting on all of our food.
Yes.
Think about that for a second, you know, and just seeing things, how God's been moving in here. It's just so obvious, you know, and I'm just so grateful. You know, I want to sing All Hail King Jesus. Oh, Jennifer, my bad. Go ahead, Sister Jen.
Yeah. It's okay. It's my bad God speaking and speaking. And
yes,
you know, I want to thank the body for recognizing negativity and letting God fight the battle.
Amen.
I hear the word.
Amen.
I take in the word. I want to manifest the word. I've been coming here for a long time.
That's right.
Amen.
And it didn't really become important until, you know, you go through things and
that's right.
You realize where you're gonna run.
Right.
You run here.
Ooh, come on.
You know, someone that that loves you here, the word here, the word is of love. That's what I need. And if I want to be available for God to do whatever he wants,
whatever.
Be open-minded, he's brought me so far. What can I do for him?
Brother Kevin, you'll be the last one.
always good to be back here. You know, with everything going on, you know, with the brothers getting up, it's been a really been a blessing. And I thank God for God moving the way he has been, because I got told myself I would have never thought I'd be up here even doing what I'm doing up there, because, right, you know, you get complacent, you get, you know, in a rut, like Pastor Mark would say. And I thank God that God doesn't like a rut here. I do appreciate that, because you can't grow. You can't grow if you're in a rut. You just can't. And I thank God that God's a moving God. He really is. And I appreciate that, because when the brothers get up here, it means a lot to me too, because I'm just hearing you, like, you know what? We pack a lot. We do. We shouldn't have to be sitting on God. God's been too good to us. He has been. And the good and the bad, I mean, God has been great. And the good thing about it, though, all things do work together for the good. It does. Who's just called to him? Amen. And the bride, God's going to take care of us. He is. He's going to take everybody else. He's going to take care of the bride. And I do appreciate it. I love that. And I love this body. I do. You guys are amazing to me. You guys are even a blessing to me in my life. I mean, when you guys testify, it does mean a lot. I'm soaking every word, because I know God's there. Yeah, I'm taking it in, and I'm applying it to my life. And I just love you guys, and I appreciate this place.
Amen.
Brother Chris, go ahead.
Get up and say something. God's been too good to me for not to say anything. And I, through all this, was something that came to my mind is what God told Moses. Don't cry, speak.
Yeah. Amen.
And I've come to that in my life when, you know, something comes up, and it comes out of the blue and hits you. God, you got to move.
Amen.
Got to do. You
Amen.
Know.
Speak.
And then it's specific. Can you say it? Of what I need.
Yeah.
And he, you know, it may not be in my timing, but it always comes through sooner or later.
Amen.
And I just appreciate this church. I appreciate the last couple of weeks have been amazing.
Amen.
Absolutely amazing. And one verse that I was just keep thinking about is, it's not me, it's Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
And by putting God first and thinking about what you can do for God changes your whole, me anyway.
Yeah.
Changes my whole outlook.
Yeah.
Amen.
On everything. You know, the world may be a mess, and it is, but I'm still here.
Amen.
So I've got something to do. Not only getting the dead up, but what I said that one Sunday night, whatever the Father has given me will come.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to meet him one way or another.
Yes.
You know, and that's why we're all different.
That's right.
Because we have different types of people
that's
to meet.
Right.
I just praise God for everything he's done for me. War he's brought me from, what
Amen.
I've overcame. I've had more things to overcome, but I will do it.
Amen.
Praise God.
All hail King Jesus. Oh, go ahead. You'll be the last one.
Amen.
I did want to get my time in. A lot of things really opened up when you look at it more. We're the final voice of the final age. A voice is speaking, not listen, is not all that. It's speaking. It's more important to speak.
Yeah.
And that has become, if you look everywhere, I see more and more we need to speak more.
Yes.
And I don't want to sit down on God.
Amen.
Right. I don't want to be sitting back there. I got more of an understanding that I just don't want to sit down. I don't want to just be pushed up underneath the rug and everything, because,
amen,
we do need to testify more, and I see that more and more, and I don't want to sit down on God. And I just, like, the voice of the final age, it's so much important to see the voice. It's a testimony. It's speaking. And you think about it, you know, the ministers always get up and you always kind of lean on them.
Right, right.
It's not that time anymore.
Right.
Come on. Amen.
It's not time to lean on the ministers. They've done their job, and we're here now.
Right.
We
yeah.
all should take a part.
Come
we
on.
Should all be a part of this.
They brought us to.
That's what they want us to do,
yeah.
and they can only tell it.
Right.
But we got to do it.
That's right.
It's important to put that in action more. We always talk about it. We always see about it. But now the actions speak louder than words.
We've
got to actually do it. So I am so grateful to understand
Amen.
That.
Amen.
You know, you go on this thing, you always think, oh, worry about that. But years and years and years being in this message, and I really understand more how much it is important to speak. Because God is in that. It's where he's going to manifest. It's in here speaking.
Amen.
And I'm so glad to understand that.
Yes. Amen.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
Song 31, All Hail King Jesus. We'll get him up.
All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty God. King, the Lord of Lords, he
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. And forevermore. One more time. This is your last time. Get in there. Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, hail Emmanuel. You are the King. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is this morning to be able to gather around your word one more time. You are the King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are the Almighty God. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity, so thankful for you coming amongst us and dealing with us, and speaking with us, and correcting us, and healing us, and saving us, touching us, directing us, speaking to us. You do so many things for us, more than the world even know that you are doing, but Lord, we see it. And as we gather here this morning in the congregation waiting for your word, we ask you to walk these aisles today. Cross these airways to those that couldn't be here today but have a desire in their heart to be in the house of God. Oh, there's no place like being here. There's no substitute for it. But circumstances, distance, and many other things hinder us from being able to come into the house here. But it's a heart's desire, and Lord, any opportunity they get, Lord, they'll be here. And Father, as we gather this morning, we ask you for a few things. Lord, our brother Jay may be tuning in this morning, and Courtney down at the hospital, Lord, ask you to send healing powers that way. John and Dawn out west, Lord, ask you to touch them, touch healing, send healing powers their way. Father, the Earlys in Florida, Lord, just move on their behalf. Brother Fred and his congregation and the bride around the world in the Philippines and Africa and different places, Lord. Brother Rosaldo in California, different places and different people who are believers of your word, Lord. Move in his behalf. Lord, bless them down in Kentucky. Just move in that congregation. Father, we ask you to just come by here today. Oh, Lord, in ourselves we are insufficient. We can't do it. But, Lord, because we know you're here, we know that you will do it because you said where two and three are gathered together in your name, that you'd be in the midst. And, Lord, we've got enough here this morning to bring you in our house. And, Lord, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for all you do. Thank you for this body here. Thank you for their love for the truth. And Lord, I ask you today as we part this way, that that love would grow even more from the word that's about to be spoken. Move in this place today, Father. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see you all here. It's good to see you all wanting to be here and wanting to burn and do something for God. And I appreciate that. I love that. This is what my heart's desire. I've wanted to see you all be able to come and really get with it. I want to see my song leaders work. Isaiah had to work today. But that's good. That's what I want to see. But be it known, congregation, when that song leader says it's the last one, that's the last one. He said, well, I'm burning. Well, bring in Wednesday. Keep burning. Burn all week. But see, it's so important that you listen to that song leader. Be sensitive to that, because that's God too. And he needs to be able to tell, like he got the guest up. I appreciated that. He got the people lined up and gone. That's what I want to see. It's like an orchestra. He's over here doing this. But that's good. But don't take him for granted. Because the day he has that good. See, I was a mean song leader. If I told you the last one, I don't care if you're walking down the aisle. I say, go sit down. Bring it back. Don't make him do that. It's because it's like when the preacher gets up. It's only the grace of God if he lets you get up after the preacher gets up and say anything, because at that point it's you settle down. Y'all ain't seen the deacons in action too much. That song leader get a little lip from you. I got deacons back there to. That song leader's not alone. See, we do have a body that works together. We have a body that functions and moves. And it's all done in order, in decent and orderly. That's the way it works. That's God's way. But I just wanted to remind y'all. I mean, y'all did good this morning, but I just letting y'all know. I'm expecting song leaders to do what Isaiah did this morning. But if he says it, you might get tapped on the shoulder by the deacon. And he might even let you do it. But the deacon might come up to you and say, hey, song leader says that's the last one. Don't do that again. That's what. Right. Am I making this up? Am I the only one that? That's the way it works. That's what the policemen of the church are for. Because see, everybody in here should have a zeal, and everybody in here should want to say something. And I'd expect every service should be everybody want to get up, because there's God's in the whole body, and you want to come bring something. But you know what? Sometimes when you have a smorgasbord, you can't eat everything. So my expectation of the deacons is, you know, the deacons do their jobs, and the song leader does his job, and the song leader don't have to run you down. He just say, that's enough. And then if you override him, that ain't even the song leader's job to go find you and beat you up. He ain't down here. No, that's the deacon's job. They're the policemen of the church. See, people don't think we got church order, but we do. I remember one time I had this man who came in here, and he was going to try to interrupt, and I had deacons on both sides of him, and he got up and marched out like a soldier. He's crazy. And he never came back, but that's what my deacons are for. So y'all better listen to the song leaders. You say, I only listen to the pastor. Listen to me now. But that's how it works. Everybody in here should be on fire this morning. Coming into the house. With a song, a testimony or something. And then if it doesn't get to happen, don't worry about it. You say, okay, I'll see you Wednesday. I'll get you next time. But that's the way it should work. It's a body ministry. I've been telling y'all for years, it's a body ministry. And now the body's like, y'all coming out of a coma or something. I don't know what happened. I was like, these are my hands, these are my feet. You know, I can actually move. I had something to say. I can testify. But, you know, that's the way it should be. Because God is in his people. And the thing about it is, you need to understand what's going on. Because, you know, it's like a kid with a gun. You don't give a kid a gun. They don't know they don't know the damage it can do. They don't know how to handle it. They don't even know where the safety switch is. They'll shoot to hurt somebody. And we now are starting to flex our wings like, hey, you know, I got something to say. Yeah? But we still have to do it in order. But it's good. I'm loving it. You ain't made me nervous yet. I'm just giving you a little ground rule. So when the deacons tap you on the shoulder, let all things be done decently and in order. And we look like we're wild to the church world. We look wild. They come here and they're like, oh my goodness. They're getting up over here. They're getting up over there. The sisters bringing their Bibles up and reading. And the brothers are, oh my God, what kind of church is this? It's God's church. That's right. It's decent in order. Amen. It's a body ministry. Right. I'm not the only one who got the word. Okay, that's good. That's good. Because you know what? Scriptures Melanie read goes right with my message.
Amen.
The quote that Jim read goes right with my message.
Amen.
And y'all was sitting there not even taking notes until I got up. Y'all already missed one scripture that God was saying and a quote. But it's good, because I was listening to him. I said, look at God. Because, you know, when I'm at home, I'm studying and looking things up and trying. I want what God wants, and I come here looking for confirmation. You know, when you all get up and talk, I'm listening for God to say, this is the direction I want to go. And I'm good with that. So I got a scripture and a quote already behind me. Saved me some time. So if you want to turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to start here, and now I'm more excited about it than when I got here. Isaiah chapter 6, Old Testament for you new Bible readers. It has 66 books in it, chapters, so that's a pretty thick area. So if you go open your Bible and just flip through, you'll find it pretty easy. Micah, you can't hardly find. Small book. You got to know where that's at or look in your index. But Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved to the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Amen. Then said I, Here am I, send me. Wow. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. I titled this message this morning, Getting Out of the Way. And I think it's appropriate for the time that we're in, because some of you are now flexing your wings and figuring out that God is actually in you. But I want to go back and read this, because there's three things that are important in here. There's a lot of things that are important here, but the three things that I want to pull out of this reading, in order that God uses us and puts us in service, there's three things that he does. There's three things he needs, and three things that you could see here in this reading, and we'll go into them. First is the confession, and then it's the cleansing, and then you're ready to work. So you're not even ready to do anything for God. Don't just come in here and go to do something for God, because that's what people want to do. You first of all, have to realize that you're a sinner saved by grace. You got to first realize that you can't do this on your own. You got to realize that it's not about you. You got to realize that you have to first repent. Don't come try to do something for God if you haven't repented. Amen. And a lot of people do that. They go to church, the first thing they want to do is climb in the pulpit.
Yeah.
Ain't repented once. Never turned around. Never sorry for their sins. Never asked God to forgive them. They ain't ready to put in service. That's what happened to a lot of our young people. And I call them young people, but that's what happened to people in general. They come in, they hear the word, they hear just enough word to satisfy their conscience, but they never repent. You say, how do you know they didn't repent? Because they weren't born again. You can't be born again until you first repent. You got to be sinful, sorrowful for all that you have done. Not just come in here and claim a job. It's not just, this is not like a working for a job, a company.
No.
You got to first repent.
Right.
See, that's the thing that people don't do. They don't repent. They don't, repentance is turn around.
Right.
Repent is the first thing you can do. When Isaiah was standing there, the first thing he realized is, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Amen.
I'm a man with unclean lips. I dwell amongst people who are unclean. Lord, there's no reason that you should have anything to do with me. See, when you get this thing right, it's not going to be some big high and mighty you. Really, repentance is when you realize that I can't do it. When you realize that without God, I'm nothing. When you realize that I'm not worthy of what he's given me. We're not getting what we get here because we were worthy of it. First thing you got to realize is, Lord, I'm a man with unclean lips. I'm not worthy. See, you can't even give grace until you first realize it and receive it. You got to first realize you need the grace of God. If you don't realize that you need the grace of God, you'll never humble yourself. And I'm not talking about some humility that some store bought, some church humility. I'm talking about real humility. When you really know that you can't do this on your own. People got away from repentance. They got away from sorrowful sin. Sorry for your sins. Sorry for your problem. Sorry for what you were. Sorry that you were born the way you were born. You got to first come to the end of yourself. You need to have a broken and contrite spirit, Don.
Yes, right.
People just come to church and just walk right in the door.
Yes.
No repentance, no baptism, no nothing.
Right.
Just come in the house. See, this ain't the lodge.
No.
You can join a lodge. Brother Branham said churches are like lodges.
Right.
They let you come in, but there's no real sorrowful repentance. They never even realize they need God. Some people don't realize they need God. If they knew they needed God, they never would walk out the door and leave.
Amen.
First of all, you got to realize God's here.
Yes.
If you don't realize God's here, there ain't nothing. There's no hope for you.
Right.
First, you got to find where God is. And then when you find where God is, then you can repent. Because you repent to God. You tell him, Lord, I'm an unclean man. Like Isaiah said, I'm unclean. I'm not worthy. We're not worthy of this. We're not worthy of God coming and moving into our house. First, you realize you're not worthy. And when you really can repent, then you turn around. That's why you're going to be different. That's why you're not going to love the things of the world anymore. And you know what? I used to thought when it says you don't love the things of the world, that the world's not going to have a pull on me no more. Oh, that's not what it means. I'm not talking about, you know what? My flesh still has the pull of the world on it. I'm talking about me. I won't even talk about you because y'all get embarrassed. Y'all don't want to repent. I'll just tell you about me. You know, my flesh still has the pull of the world on it. Don't lie to yourself. Your spirit realm still has a pull of the world on it. But the thing that doesn't love the world, the thing that doesn't have a pull on it, is my soul. My soul has nothing to do with the world. It has nothing to do. It's not pulled by the world at all. People try to act like they're better than they are. That's because they never repented. Because if you ever repent, that means you're sorry. You know, my mama, when we were getting fights, when me and Melody fight, my mama made us repent.
Yeah.
Tell Melanie you're sorry.
That's right.
And then worse than that, she'd make us hug her. I was sinfully sorry then. But people come to church, they don't want to repent. They don't want to turn around. They want to move on like they are. They want to keep their thinking. They want to keep their ideas. You got to lay all that down.
Amen.
You can't even understand the Bible till you lay your thinking down. As long as you're keeping your ideas and what you think it is and what you think is right, you won't even know God.
That's right.
Amen. The first step is repentance. Don't just come here. Repent.
Right.
You say, well, I thought we were past that. No, we'll never get past that. That's the first step of finding where God is repentance. That's why Acts 2 says repent and be baptized. Because you don't even get baptized if you haven't repented. Don't try to deal with God if you haven't repented. If you've never laid down your old thinking and realized it's no good, then don't even worry about God, because God ain't going to deal with you. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I come out of a world that's unclean. I'm dealing with people with unclean lips. That means none of us are good. None of us are right. None of us are righteous. None of us has it made. And I need something outside of myself. So, Lord, I repent.
Amen.
That's what happens when you come to the house of God.
Yeah.
This is a house of correction. You thought it was bad that I said, hey, y'all, the deacon's going to get you. It's a house of correction.
Amen.
If you come here and you don't want to be corrected, you're in the wrong house.
Amen.
When you go to school, you're expected to learn. When you go to daycare, they might change your diaper and let you play all day. But when you go to school, you got to sit down and pick something up, learn something. When you come to church, you need to learn something. You don't just come here and sit. Every service, you should take something away. Every service, you should leave better than you were when you got here. Every service, you should repent.
Amen.
Repentance is turning around. When you come to church and you hear the revelation like you never heard it before, it should turn you around. And you should lay your thinking down and you should pick up the word of God. Like I've always told y'all, I said, until the revelations come, all you got is your thinking. And God may give you one revelation, but the rest of it is your thinking. And then God will give you another revelation. And then those two revelations of God, the rest of it is your thinking. That's why we come into church. We read scriptures and we read it at home and we get one idea. We come to the house of God. God corrects you. God changes your thinking. Then you repent. You say, Lord, I didn't know it was that way. You turn around. You pick up the word of God. And then you walk out better than you were when you got here.
Amen.
No one should ever leave here the same way they got here. No one will. You'll either leave better or worse. Some people leave the house of God worse. Well, I don't believe that. I'll never go back. Don't come back. Give deacons less work to do. Give the preachers less people to preach to. Give God more time with the believers. No, people come in to get their ideas, and they come with their, every last one of us came here with our ideas. Oh, you said, well, I was born in this message. You were full of your ideas. Well, until it's a revelation, it's not of God. It's tradition. It's what you think it is. Because a lot of times we try to hold on to the fact that I was born and raised in this church and message, and that's all I know. But you know what? You're still full of creeds. You get your own thinking involved. You get your own ideas. That's why the young people who were born and raised here left here, because they had their own thinking and never got born again, never repented, and God could never use them. Gotta say it. You say, but they're our kids. I know. But they still must be born again. Everybody has to repent. Nobody can go to heaven without repenting. Nobody can be put in service. See, we want to do God's business, but we don't want to go through the process. And you got to go through the process in order to be prepared to do the work. God can't use no old man that don't even believe him. See, you can't even have that old man killed out till you repent. You first got to realize you're wrong. Brother Branham said the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong.
Amen.
Oh, people have a hard time saying it wrong. Have you ever run across somebody that's always right? They never wrong. They mess up. They say, well, wasn't my fault. Well, I didn't do it. Or it's their fault, or his fault, or her fault, or society's fault. They had a brother who always got fired from work, and he always said, they fired me because I was black.
Yeah.
No, they fired you because you were lazy. Full of excuses. Full of tradition. Full of ideas. And you got to lay all that down. You got to put all that away from you. You got to repent. Turn around. Realize, Lord, I'm an unclean man. People always act like, that's what always bothers me about these holier-than-thou message people. They think they're so good, and they think they're so righteous, and they think they got everything lined up and all the ducks in a row and all that. And I'm like, oh, but you're a man of unclean lips, just like me. You need grace, just like me. You need God's love, just like me. If we all need the same thing, then how's one better than the other one? Well, I repented for this. Well, I repented for this. I repented for this. Well, it's all repentance. Turn it around. And God's the only one that can forgive us. You try to get repentance from each other, you'll never get it. Like Brother Children said, keep your filthy hands off me. You don't know how to judge me. But the first thing you have to do is have repentance. Brother Brown said here in Influence, he said, God always cleanses his servants. And when he is ready to put them into duty by the Holy Ghost and fire, God cleanses by fire, not books. See, a lot of people think they're smart. Not by books, not by education, not by intellectual conception, not by denomination. You can't join this church. But by the fire of the Holy Spirit, God cleanses his servant. Then notice then, after the confession, after the cleansing, then comes the commission. Then was the commission. After confessed and cleansed, it was then that the clean Isaiah answered God and said, here am I, send me. After he was clean, confessed, cleansed by the fire, then that clean Isaiah was ready for work. He was ready to be an example. He was ready to have to put his life out and others could be influenced by him. But until he had confessed it, until he was cleansed, then he was a very poor influence, just another puppet for the king.
Yeah.
See, until you confess it, until you repent, you're not even ready for us to have you lead some service. You're not ready to testify. You're not ready to sing. You're not ready to preach. You're not even ready for anything. First, you got to repent. Realize you're wrong because you got to get something to work with. See, until you repent, God can't even cleanse you. Too many people try to get ahead of the horse. Try to put the cart before the horse. Or they want to lead service. They want to leave this. They want to do this. They want to do that. Never been born again.
Amen.
We never got past the point where we need to be born again.
Amen.
That confession, after you repent, there's a confession that comes forth. See, you got to confess this thing. You can't sit here with your mouth closed. So we sat here. I get tickled at the brothers because now they're like, no more. I ain't going back. Never again. I ain't going to do it. I'm like, okay. All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds good. But you know, I'm from Missouri. I'm from the show me state. Because everybody talks. You know, and the thing about people, you get under anointing, and you get in the atmosphere, and under the right anointing, you can make a Trinitarian preach one God. I've seen it done. So that's good, brothers. You got to confess. Yeah. I'm not saying don't say you're not going back. No. I'm saying that's the first start of it.
Yeah.
You can't even move forward till you first confess it. You can, and some people, they want to come here and sit on a bench and not say nothing, because if I don't say nothing, then I'm not held accountable for it. Doesn't work that way. He that knoweth to do good. Just knowing to do it. Just knowing you should. You say, well, I'll trick the pastor. I'll just hide in the middle. I won't say nothing. If I don't say nothing, they can't hold me over my head. Because, you know, a lot of people talk bad. I've seen a lot of people leave this church. But, you know, all I do is get a testimony out of them before they go. I'll just watch them. Because I know when they're waiting around the shoreline. You know, there's people who stand on the beach and never get in the water. I see every man on the beach. And I look at them, and they're standing there, and they get their testimony. And that's all I want to hear is their testimony. Because it's not fair for me to say I don't care. I do care. I don't care in the way you think I care, though. But I don't care if you live it or not.
Yeah. Amen.
All I'm trying to do is get you to confess it.
Right.
If I can get you to open your mouth,
yeah,
and you confess it, then it's on you, bub.
Right.
If you walk out the door, it ain't because I kicked you out the door. It's because you lied. It's your choice. It's your movement. It's your doing. And a lot of people say, well, I ain't going to say nothing. See, that's where God's got you. Because he that knoweth, when you know, you should confess. See, unless you confess this thing, it's not even yours.
That's right.
Amen.
Come to church all you want. Sit there all you want. Hide under the bench all you want. Unless you open your mouth and confess it, it's not even yours. You ain't ready for service yet because you've never even confessed it.
Amen.
Oh, you'll squirm, you'll hide, you'll duck. You can't get away from God. God's got your number. God's got your number when you don't come. He knows why you're not here. I know why some people aren't here. I put some pressure on them. And when you put pressure on them, they start dipping and hiding. They can't stand the pressure, Brother Lockett. They'll come in late and leave early. They won't show at all. This is the house of correction, people. If you don't want to be corrected, don't come. But if you come in these doors, I'm going to tell you the truth and you never talk to me again. But you can hear the word and never let the words come out. So it's by your confession. You're either saved or condemned by your confession. Your own words are going to fix you. Your own words are going to lock you in, or your own words are going to lock you out. I know every person who's left here, and I know what they said while they were here. God sent me. Hallelujah. This is my church. Ah, this is the best place ever. Next thing you know, they walked out the door and talking about you like a dog. I'm like, wait a minute. Did God lie or did they lie? You know, they confessed this, but they're manifesting that. So see, you better open your mouth. I don't care if you got to hide behind somebody else. Get in a group. Get up there and say, sister, we gonna get up here and we're going to testify together. We're going to sing a song. And then while you're in this middle of the song, you stick your head between the crowd and say, I got to testify. And then go on back in the back. That's all right. But you got to do it, because what you got to understand, it's an individual walk with God. This is not a group thing. This is not a church thing. This is not a family thing. You got to open your mouth. You got to say it's right. You got to stand on the word of God, because you're only as strong as your testimony. If you never confess this thing, you're weak.
Amen.
I don't care if you come to every service.
Amen.
You say, well, Clarice testifies for me. No, she don't. She testifies for Clarice. She can't testify for me. You say, well, my husband testifies for me. He can't testify for you. He can tell all the good stuff you do. He can tell how great you are. He can tell how much he loves you. But when it comes to you and serving God and the confession, that's got to come out of your mouth. It's an individual affair when it comes to serving God. And the first thing this individual affair will do will tie you to a body. Isn't that weird? It separates you, then it brings you together. Totally individual, but a total body. And just like us, we without them are not made perfect. And they without us are not made perfect. So even though this is a body, this ain't all the body. We need the rest of the body to be a complete body. But it starts out with a confession. It starts out with repentance. It starts out with you saying, Lord, I'm wrong. Zeal of the hour, I'm wrong. You need to start practicing the zeal of the hour. I'm wrong. When you're wrong, you're wrong. People think it's like murder. It's like, to say I'm wrong, it's like, I can't see that. Get used to it. I'm wrong all the time. I'm wrong all the time. Paul said we die daily. If we die daily, that means we're wrong every day. We got to repent every day. We got to turn around every day. So, and then we got to confess who we are every day. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday. You know, you don't even serve God on Sunday and Wednesday.
No, you don't.
I was thinking about that yesterday. I said, people think they come to church to serve God. This ain't serving God. This is a dressing room. This is where God coaches you. This is before the game. You don't play the game in a locker room. You get dressed in the locker room. But then you get out on the field and you play the game. We're in here getting dressed because you need to know what to wear, what to look like, what to talk like, what to sound like. You need to know all these things, but that comes from the coach. That comes here. I work you up. I pump you up. I tell you you're a believer. I tell you you can make it. And then you walk out of here like this. People think coming to church is something. Coming to church is the easiest thing you can do.
Amen.
Come in a building with everybody with like precious faith. Nobody looking at you funny. Nobody talking about you. You don't have to worry about saying, hallelujah. Get in the middle of your work day. About 11 o'clock when everybody, all the late people are there. And it's before lunch. Sit at your desk. Go, hallelujah. And see if you get the same response. Here, you do that here, you might get three or four hallelujahs.
Yeah. Right.
You do that work, they go,
really?
And you think it's hard coming to church. You think it's hard praising God. You think it's hard confessing. You think it's hard talking about God. This is the easiest we got it all week long.
Amen.
You aren't even fighting any enemy in here.
Amen.
No battle here. This is where we lay our shield down. We lay our sword down. We lay our helmet down. We come in here, put our feet up and relax. Don't have to worry about nothing. Just come and be fed and be encouraged. And you can't testify here. I don't know how. I don't know what else to do. I put pillows around you? I don't know. I don't know. It's like, this is as easy as we got it. And if you're struggling here, in the house of God, I don't even have to ask you what happens when you get out in the midst of people who don't love you. I don't have to ask you what happens when you get in the middle of people who don't have God. I have to ask you what you do about, if you don't confess him here, I'm sure you ain't confessing him at work. I'm sure you're not confessing him at home. But confession is a part of it. If you want to be put in service,
right.
You got to confess it.
Amen.
You got to confess it. You say, I'm shy. I'm shy. You say, I don't like to get up in front of people. I don't like to get up in front of people. I got to wait till somebody calls me. Mm-mm. No. If you wait to be called, it's already too late. When I first come to this church, song leader used to get up there and he would tell who's going to sing. He would name them. We're going to have a song by Brother Deskins today. followed by a song by Sister Clarice. And song leader was, you thought I say it was bad today. They were ruling the roost. And they were dictating everything, and everybody had to listen because they had the leadership of God. And I come, I'm like, y'all get up when y'all want, if y'all want to, get on up here. Brother Reggie started the Voices of the Bride. You know why he called it the Voices of the Bride? Because it was the voices of the bride. Whoever wanted to get involved. Anybody. That's why the whole church gets up. When the voices get up, it's awful strange. We're the strangest church there is. It's a call for the voices to get up. Everybody clears the church. It's like a resurrection. Everybody gets up. It's like, well, who are you singing to? The one or two are sitting there. Some people don't get up. I don't know why not, but I don't even ask questions. I just sing with the ones that are up there. But Reggie called it the voices of the bride because he said, I want it to be the voices of the entire body. Doesn't matter whether you can sing or not. Doesn't matter what. It's just getting in there with the body. So when the voices are called, everybody gets up. And here we are in here, but you must have your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't sit here and let your husband's relationship with Jesus Christ try to make you feel like you're okay. Because you're not. Don't think because you got a spiritual wife and she prays a lot that makes it okay and you're okay to just have her be your spiritual guide. That ain't enough. You must be born again. You got to repent. You got to be baptized. And you got to receive the Holy Ghost for yourself. We never get away from that. Don't ever get away from that. Well, we're educated now. We're smart believers. Hallelujah. We believe in William Branham. William Branham's dead and gone. Where's the God of Elijah? That's what you should be asking. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, well-known scripture that we read all the time. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Isn't it funny how it always starts out with repentance? If you don't do repentance, the rest of it is invalid. Baptize you if they want to. You ain't getting nothing from God until you first repent. Because repentance says, I'm wrong. Repentance says, I need help. Repentance says, I can't do it myself. Repentance says, I'm a man with unclean lips. Lord, I need forgiveness. Peter started out, repent. And then be baptized. See, some people don't even believe in water baptism anymore. They gotten so far down the line, they got so much message, so much God, that they don't even believe in water baptism. Water baptism is your way to the new birth. Now, God makes special occasions for special occasions, but you ain't no special occasion. Right. You're here. Like the Ethiopian said to Philip, says, here's water. I got an occasion. Here's water. What hinders us from getting this done? He repented, and his next thing he was going to do is get baptized. Repents, turned around. Philip preached to him, and what Philip preached, he didn't know about. So he repented, turned around, said, that's nothing but the truth. Then he passed this little water hole, and he said, well, you said about water baptism in Jesus Christ's name. Here's some water right now. Let's just take care of this right now. See, the thing about a believer, they will turn quickly to the Word. Right. I don't have to come up here and beg and plead and beg and plead to get you to testify. I don't have to beg and plead to get you to come up and be water baptized. I don't have to beg and plead the bride to live good for God. I don't have to beg and plead nothing. The bride, if she's got a seed of God in her, when she hears a word, it's going to force her, constrain her, push her to do what she needs to do. Nobody has to push her. You don't have to hog tie her up. You don't have to throw her in the pool. You don't have to make sure she... No, she's going to do it willingly. The sign of true repentance is that you'll be baptized. The sign of true repentance is that there will be a confession. You will confess with your mouth. the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to do it. He said, I know I'm not. Then he'll never use you. You wonder why you're not used. You say, oh, why don't the Lord visit me? Why don't the Lord give me dreams? Why don't the Lord come and talk to me? Why don't he give me? Why don't you do what he said? He said, well, if he says it, I'll do it. I'm talking to you now.
Amen.
We talk about the Son of Man, and then we sit here and act like it's not here. That's like y'all overriding a song leader. If I make a man a song leader, that means you listen to him. If God's got a preacher here, that means God's here talking to you. And if you don't believe this is God, then why are you even here? I know it gets personal. I know it's getting a little straight, but it's an hour of the Son of Man. You're not going to get God outside of a preacher preaching it right at you. God is here. And if you don't believe that God is here, then you cannot be born again. You say, you're just making yourself equal with God. I'm telling you, we're in an hour of the Son of Man. It's not an hour to back up. It's not an hour to act like we don't know where God is. It's not an act, like Brother Children said, if you want to see God, look here. If you want to see God, look here. I know God's here. I know he's speaking to us. I know he walks these aisles. I know he's talking to his congregation. He tried to show you when he read the scripture. He tried to show you when he read the quote. He tried to show you in song and testimony before I even got up here with the scripture. But we still sit here and act like God's not here. We still sit here and act like it's not time to repent. We still sit here and won't confess it.
Amen.
It's later than you think. You say, well, you're making it too real. It needs to be real. You need to understand God's here. You need to understand God is here. God's in here discerning every heart in this place.
Amen.
You know, if he wanted to, he could tell me what everybody's just thinking. And it won't even slow me down a bit. Because sometimes y'all don't know this, but sometimes when I'm preaching Jeremiah, that's why I'm saying it like I'm saying it now, because I'm getting kickback. Quit fighting it. Repent. Turn around. Then confess it. If you want God to use you, you got to do those two things first. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. If you want your sins to be taken care of, do that. Repent and be baptized. He said, well, I've already repented and I was already baptized. Good. Have you confessed it? Remember, we're still on confession. I haven't got off of confession yet. You got to confess this thing. You got to let us know about the hope that lies within you. Let us know why you are like you are. You got to tell somebody. See, you can't, there's no such thing as a Christian, a secret Christian. Nicodemus did try that, Don. He come to Jesus by night. And he told him, he said, I know you're of God. Well, if you really do know that, then what are you doing trying to hang on to the Sadducees' teachings? I know you. See, a lot of people say, oh, I know God's in this place. You know what? You don't mind saying God's in this place. But you don't want to put him in the skin he's in. You want to say he's in me. Because if you knew he's in me, then it'd be too real. It's too much. You can't hit stop on the recorder. You can't hit rewind or fast forward. You can't get me off the subject. I'm going to hammer at it and hammer at it till you repent. We really don't want God in skin. That's the bottom line. We don't want God in skin. It makes him too real. It makes him right in our face. It tells us that we can't take anything, we can't get out of it anyway. And you know, some of you just sit there looking at me like, but that's okay, because you're listening to God. God's talking in this place today. God wants you to understand that you're talking about the Son of Man ministry. You ask for it, you talk about it, but when it happens right in front of your eyes, you do just like the Sadducees and Pharisees. You being a man, make yourself equal with God. Do you realize the bride's got to get to the point that she confesses that she is God? She's got to know who she is. She's got to know why she's here. She's got to know what she's about.
Right, right.
So, no, can we go back to Son of God? No! Son of God is an unseen force. You're looking at a seen force now. You're looking at a seen force now. Now when God talks, he's going to talk through the bride. When God opens his mouth, he's going to open it through the bride. When God makes a confession, he's going to make it through the bride. And you, if you're a part of the bride, you'll make a confession too. And I'm not just saying God's good.
No.
I'm not just saying I love this. I'm not saying this is a good, I'm not saying just get up and testify this is a good church. You need to talk about what's really going on. You need to get down where the rubber meets the road. You need to come back here and say, hey, I want you to know that God's called me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He put me in this message, and I have a clear understanding of who I am. I've been born again. I have the word of the hour. I'm the final voice to the final age. You start talking like that, then you got God in your confession. Just to get up and say, I love this. You ain't said nothing. You got to give a reason. Not just sitting here and like, well, why do you come to church? Why do you love this message?
Come on.
No, open your mouth. Son of Man is the word of God veiled in human skin. And if he's in there, he's got to come out. He's not up here floating somewhere. He's sitting on the bench. He's playing the instruments. He's testifying. He's singing. He's walking the aisles. He walks around the church sometime because he just feels like he wants to. He does it because it just feels like it's good to him. And that's not man. You look at people, you think they're just doing it. That's God walking the aisles. That's God trying to show you I'm in human skin and I can do what I want to do. We forget it's God in skin. We forget all about the Son of Man ministry. We think this is God somewhere. No, it's God in man. You can't even get God without finding him in man now. And you got to confess that. Oh my. He that believe that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. You got to confess that. You got to know that for yourself. You got to get this thing so that you know, oh, God talked to me today. Oh, God visited me today. Oh, God revealed something to me today. It's you and God having a conversation. I'm just yielding the vessel, and he's talking to everybody in here, and he knows exactly what you need. Oh, you may not need everything, but you need something. And God's in here now. God's dealing now. Do you know the word is a discerner? Oh, he's discerner of the hearts and the intent. He knows what you need. That's why when you come to the house, you walk out with what you go out with everything. It's like going to Kroger's. When you go to Kroger's, you get everything you need. Everybody don't have the same thing in their cart, but everybody leaves with something. You need to recognize it's the hour of the Son of Man. It's God in skin. And when you're dodging God in skin, you're dodging God. Oh, I know when you dodge me. Oh, I know when you don't want to hear from me. Oh, I know when you try to avoid me.
Come on now.
Amen.
I'm still drunk when I'm shaking hands back there, people.
Amen. Still discerning.
Still discerning.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
That's why sometimes I call y'all the wrong names, because I'm still not there yet. And God's still checking everybody out on the way out the door. You think you got away? You didn't get away. God saw you when you snuck by. And God said, I see you. And then when you start missing, God says, I see you. When you start leaving early, God says, I see you. When you start listening from home, God says, I see you. When you got your own thinking and your own ideas, God says, I see you. Because it's not the Son of God age. It's the Word made flesh right before your very eyes. You sit with God. You eat with God. You sleep with God. You fellowship with God. You ride with God. God walks with you. He talks to you, and not just on Sunday and Wednesday. Clarice gets God talking to her all week long. She'll be walking through the house like, there he is. He's here. Goes out to the garden. There he is. He's here. And Clarice might say, and I'm like, oof. There he is. Don't live with God. Don't take him home with you, because you can't get away from him. He'll talk to you when you're not even listening. You might be trying to mind your own business, and God will walk in the room. Says, Jeremiah, you need to do this. And Jeremiah's like, who does Elise think she is? But that might not have been Elise. Check it in the Bible. If it matches the word, then it wasn't Elise. See, that's what you don't understand. God ain't going to come and talk to you, thus, thou, and thee. He's going to speak to you in a common, clear voice. A still, small voice. And what makes it God is that it matches the word.
Right.
Not who it's coming from. That's why I look around the congregation. I listen for God in the congregation. Not from who it's coming from, but what it's saying, how it matches the word of God.
Amen.
When the word of God comes, you know, see, I don't worry about me. I know I'm God.
Yeah. All right.
Every word I speak is coming out of me.
Amen.
Word upon word upon word upon word. I don't hit and miss.
No.
So I don't worry about me. I know I'm God. Question is, do you know I'm God?
That's right.
And you got to have that same conversation with yourself.
That's right.
You got to start speaking word upon word upon word.
Amen.
And then you say, you know what? I'm God.
Yeah.
I know I'm God.
Yeah.
And then whoever you're talking to, like, are you God? It's Son of Man.
Amen.
Word made flesh.
Amen.
People miss it because it doesn't come like they want it.
Right.
Never has changed. Always been that way. But you got to repent. You got to be baptized. And ye shall. Not even an if, and, or but. If you repent, if you are baptized, you will be born again. If it's real repentance and a real water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's true to his word. See, what you got to understand, God's a keeper of his word. He ain't going to let you repent and be baptized and say, well, I don't know, Clarice. I don't know. I don't like those glasses. You can't go. That ain't God. If she repents and she's baptized, God said, oh, man, I got to give. I got to fill her up. I got to give it up. I got to burn that old nature out because I promised her. I promised her. I promised. See, God is true to his word. If you follow his word, you'll find God. And God's always where his word is. If you repent, you're baptized. And you might have all kind of problems. You might have all kind of trouble. But don't worry about that. He didn't say get rid of your troubles. He didn't say get rid of your problems. He didn't say don't be short anymore. He didn't say get rid of your habits. You might be smoking, but don't worry about that. You might have a drinking problem, but don't worry about that. You might have all kind of problems. X, X, X. Don't worry about that. All he's asked you to do is repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will take care of everything else. That's his word. Now ask yourself this morning, have I repented? If that's a yes, have you? Then I go to the next one. Have I been baptized? And if that's a yes, that's a done deal. You can just put your feet up. He's coming. He's coming. I've repented. I've been baptized, and he promised me. He promised me. He promised me. He is just as true to his word when he said, let there be.
Amen. Amen.
That's how true he is. He said, let there be, and everything around him. Oh, we got to manifest. And he said, repent and be baptized. You get that done, don't even worry about it. Don't worry your pretty little head about it. Because he is so true to his word, he would destroy heaven and earth before he goes back on that word. He will make sure you have it no matter what. Because he is that true to his word. That's the same way it is with everything he says. If God says anything, then he would be true to that. That's why the body change is just ahead. That's why the marriage supper is just ahead. That's why the dead getting up is just ahead. Because the same one who said, let there be in Genesis 1, is the same one that said, I'm going to get you up. And everybody went down believing that. All right. You can bank on it. Now, Brother Branham said, remember, a prescription is just enough antidote in there to take care of the disease and enough to kill the medicine for the patient. And if you don't, you put too much of the antidote in it or something another won't work. Weaken it down. It's too much. It won't help the patient. You put too much of the poison in, it'll kill the patient. It's got to be just right. And he wrote the eternal prescription. For it's for every generation. Not shake hands, not join church, and all these other things. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's promised to you and your children. They took that prescription and filled it at God's great counter. And when they did, on the day of Pentecost, they healed the sick, done everything there was to be done, because it was God, Christ, in them. When you do fulfill God's prescription, and you do it according to what God said, God will make sure everything else lines up. We don't have to worry about getting the dead up. Don't worry so much every day. Say, Lord, help me today to hear your voice, to get the dead up. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. You don't have to do that. He's already promised it. He's already said it. You rest on that. Why is Siri talking to me? She talked to me Wednesday night. I said something, she answered me. I don't know what she said, just know what she said. See? She doesn't have a soul. But it's interesting how that works. Sometimes that series is, it's dimensional. All right. Y'all going to go home and turn all y'all stuff off now. If we turned everything off that had series on it now, we wouldn't be able to function. Anyway, that prescription was given by God, and it works. It'll always work. And if you have not been born again to this day, follow the prescription. And I guarantee you, you shall receive. It has to be true repentance. It has to be true water baptism. And if you don't, not one of those, I'm sinfully sorrowful. Heartily sorry, as Neil used to say. Neil used to say, I'm heartily sorry. Heartily sorry. But you got to be real.
Amen.
And when you come to God and you believe that he is God, he'll reward them that diligently, sincerely seek him. If you've never sincerely seeked him up until this morning, that's okay. But you know what? Today's the day. This is your time to diligently seek him. This is your time to really repent. This is your time to, we'll run water. We'll get some baptism water. We'll do it. We used to go down to the lake with Brother Childers. When we had the little church, we'd go down to the river. But we got water. We just need a little time to run it. But we'll put you in it. We'll get you baptized. But, you know, repent first. Make it real. True repentance will drive you right to the water. It will. It'll drive you right to the water because you'll look at it and you'll say, well, it's God's word. This is what God wants. This is his prescription. This is how it works. And see, that confession has to come from that true repentance. As many as I love, Brother Brownstone, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Revelation 3:19. This is the same message that John had as he cried out in that religious wilderness of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and heathens. Repent. There was no other course then. There is no other course now. There was no other course then, and there's no other course now. There was no other way to get back to God then, and there's no other way now. It is repent. Change your mind. Turn around. People think repenting is something that's really hard. It's not. You just got to recognize that you're a sinner. And when you recognize that you're a sinner, just turn around. You don't have to be a sinner. You say, well, how am I going to be a saint? That's not your place. You just turn around. You start heading the right direction. When I get lost in my GPS and I realize it, all I do is turn around. GPS take care of all the rest. It might take me around the block. It might do many things. But I don't have to worry. I don't get upset because he's going to get me to my destination. When you repent and you're baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't even worry. You say, well, I don't see nothing. I don't see nothing. I don't feel no different. I don't feel nothing. You know the Holy Ghost comes without one sensation? The Holy Ghost is just a revelation. It's a clear understanding. We make the Holy Ghost some monstrous thing that's going to take you over and turn you into something that you aren't. No, the Holy Ghost is just the revealer of the Word. When the Word's revealed to you, that's the Holy Ghost. He is the only revealer of the Word. So when you repent and you're baptized and you'll sit there, and first thing we do, we try to start putting everything down. Put this down. Take that. And we take our TV out and shoot it because Brother Branham said it. We do all this stuff and we're just working up a storm because we've repented and we're baptized and we're waiting on the Holy Ghost. And then God reveals something to you. Luke 17:30. You might be sitting there, and he says, you know, as it was in the day of Noah, so you're in the hour of the Son of Man. Son of Man's in you. You're like, yeah, but let me go take I'm carrying my TV out. I got to shoot it. I got to stop doing this. I got to lay that down. I got to stop this, and I got to stop that, and I got to pick this up, and I got to start doing that, and I got to start visiting Don because it's a brotherly thing to do. And you're just working yourself. And you got a revelation right there. Luke 17:30 has revealed himself to you. But we don't give that any credit at all. We don't even count that as the Holy Ghost. We think the Holy Ghost is something that we feel, something that we drop, something that we change, something that we do. The Holy Ghost is just a clear understanding. When the Word of God comes forth and you didn't understand and now you understand, that's the new birth.
Amen.
You're waiting on it, and you're waiting on it, and you're dropping this, and you're putting this down, and doing all these things, and then God just reveals his word to you. And the revealing of the word is just you didn't know, and now you know. You ever have that? Beth, has that ever happened to you? You didn't know, then all of a sudden, like, huh, that's the Holy Ghost. Now, we wait for a feeling, an emotion, or something, but no, it's without one sensation. It's a clear understanding. It's recognizing your day in its message. Every revelation you get is the Holy Ghost revealing it to you. You'll start out with one revelation, and you're trying to work it up, thinking, yeah. You know, after a while, when you find out what a revelation is and what the Holy Ghost is, you'll stop trying to do. You'll stop working because this should be the end of your struggling nature.
Amen.
This isn't a struggle. People struggle in trying to be a Christian. I don't struggle to be a Christian. I'm having a good old time.
Yeah.
I figured if God, you got me here, I'm going to enjoy this life until you get me to the better place.
Amen.
I'm going to work with what I got till I get something better.
Amen.
But I'm not going to sit here and my, I need to be better. I need to do this.
Yeah.
And no, Lord, take away what you want. And if you don't take it away, I'm going to keep it. If you don't worry about it, I ain't worried about it. See, we worry about stuff God ain't worried about.
Right.
We do. We spend a whole lot of time trying to do things that God's not even looking for.
Right.
And we're trying to clean things up and straighten things up. And all God wants you to do is to believe his word. And when the word gets inside of you, that word will change what it needs to change. I don't need to tell you what to change. I just watch you and watch you eat. I come here and I watch you. You know, it's like a kid. You don't have to watch that kid every day. Just keep putting food in front of him. Keep putting food in front of him. Jonathan went to Texas, and he come back 2 inches taller. I was like, Jonathan, what did they feed you down there? You don't have to follow him around. Because, come on, Jonathan, eat. Come on, Jonathan, eat. No. As you eat the word of God, you will mature. You will grow. A kid automatically grows up. You don't have to make it. You don't have to force it. You don't have to talk to Johnny every. Come on, Johnny. Now, I gave you some beans yesterday. Now, you had lots of rice today. So, come on, can you just push it up a little higher, a little taller? You know, no, you don't have to do that. Whatever's in Johnny is going to come out. Amen. Whatever's in a believer is going to come out. Right. I don't have to follow you home and try to make you a Christian. That's the problem some people got. Because they thought, I need to follow them home. And they never repented. They may or may have not gotten baptized, but they never repented. I can tell you that much, because if they ever repented and they were baptized, they would receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, they skipped down to baptism. And then they sat here long enough to hear enough word to say, you know, if you're predestinated, you'll be there. And they're like, whew, well, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm predestinated. Well, I can't miss this. God's got to take me no matter what. I think I'll just skip church and not even come to church no more because I don't like that Jeremiah anyway, and I don't think I want nothing to do with him. And I'm still going to heaven anyhow. See, you never repented. You never got the Holy Ghost. You just got a bunch of head nods because for a while there we were trying to figure, now, what about our young kids? Now, they're gone out in the streets. Are they born again? Are they not born again? Did they receive the word? Did they lose? No, they never got born again. Amen. They left us because they showed that they're not of us. Had they been of us, they would have never left. They would have remained. I mean, the Bible's got answers to every bit of it. We just don't like the answer. We love our kids, but I ain't going to fool them. You ain't following the word. Yeah, you might go to heaven because I'm taking you. You ain't going on your own gas. You don't have no gas in your car. Repentance will bring you right here. Yeah. Right here. Yeah. And then when you get here, after you repented, the word comes forth, and then you hear the word, and you're like, oh, I had that wrong. And you repent again. You lay that down, pick up the revelation. And then you hear, come to church. Next time you hear another thing that you had mixed up. Well, I never read that scripture like that. So that's how that really reads. You lay that thinking down and you pick it up. The whole time you're growing. You're growing. That's why I said, I can't believe you brothers would sit here. Right. It's like, are you not eating? I mean, I get excited cooking it. I do. You know, a good cook, a lot of time a cook won't eat after they get it done because they ate while they were cooking it. They're like, it's so good. I eat this before I get here. And so by the time I get here, I know it's good food. I ain't worried about whether it's tasty because I already tasted of it. And I'm coming to bring it out here and give it to y'all. And it should do something for you. You know, when somebody eats something good, never see them pat their foot. They're not even paying no attention to it. They're eating that food and they're just patting their foot and not even thinking about it. You know, that's what y'all should be doing when the word of God comes. It's like, we love it. Now, after you have made your confession, there is an element of cleansing that has to happen. It's not enough just to confess it. You can confess it without being repentant. Many do. I love this message. I love this message. And it never had an effect on their life. It never changed them. They sat in the same position for years till they finally get tired and then they're doing it. So don't just confess it. Repent, confess it, but then after the confession, there's a cleansing. See, before, this is all, remember, it's about putting ourselves in service for God. Yes. Getting out of the way. So the next thing you do is you got to have the cleansing. And that's Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed, John said, baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me. See, there's more to it than the water baptism. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You say, well, why in the world does God have to baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire? Well, number one, the Holy Ghost is the quickening power who quickens the word to you. And that fire is that same Holy Ghost. But the one thing is to bring life to you, and the other is to get rid of life. That fire is the only thing that can get rid of a nature. The same fire that got rid of your nature is the same fire that's going to get rid of everybody else's nature. Our God is a consuming fire. Nobody can get rid of a nature except for God. So after you have repented, after you have a cleansing, then you have to actually have that fire burn out that old nature. Don't stop until you're born again. Don't just come here and confess the message. Don't come here and just be a good husband. Don't come here and just be a good wife. Don't come here and just be a good child. You have to be born again. You got to confess this thing for yourself. And after all that's done, you still need a fire.
Amen.
You're not even ready for the service yet until you get that fire.
Amen.
Must be born again. Brother Brown said, as soon as Isaiah said, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell with people of unclean lips, then came the confession. Then came the cherubim with the fire. Did you notice? God never uses a seminary to cleanse him with. He never used a book of laws to cleanse him with. He cleansed him with, he cleansed him by fire. God always cleanses his servants when he's ready to put them in duty by the Holy Ghost and fire. God cleanses by fire, not by books, not by education, not by individual conceptions, not by denomination, but the fire of the Holy Spirit. God cleanses his servants. You got to get born again. You brothers are getting up here and ministering here and talking, and you don't have to be called a minister to talk. That's a misnomer. People think, oh, and then if you get anointed, all of a sudden you're a preacher. No, you're not. You're just anointed. And you should be anointed. You should want to be anointed. The word that anoints you, the word anoints the whole body. Like Melanie said, I got something to read, but I ain't. Don't get nervous. But she's the anointed word. We get nervous about it. And then we go from, remember, it's a push me, pull you. Satan don't want you to testify. Then he wants you to testify too much. He don't want you to say nothing. Then he don't want you to shut up. But see, the balance of it is, you move as God moves. When God moves, you move. When God wants you to speak, you speak. When God wants you to be quiet, see, there's a time for everything, every season under the sun. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to refrain from speaking. And we get all excited because we get anointed, but the anointing will go away. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just settle down. You'll be okay.
Amen.
I get on and get these messages, and they get hot potato. Ooh, right now. Gotta do it. No, settle down. Yeah. You know, there's no message I have that I can't sit down and not preach it.
That's right.
If I got up this morning with this message and Brother Peterson walked in the door, I'd say, Brother Peterson, it's yours.
Yeah.
So you're not all that hot fire. You can't wait on your testimony. You say, what? Now you're going the other way. I'm trying to balance you. I'm putting you in the middle. See, I'm the middle of the road walker. See, I preach, and then there's time I don't preach. I sing, and there's time I don't sing. I testify, and then there's time I don't testify. I don't have to do nothing all the time the same way. You ain't never going to keep seeing me repeat myself. You never know where I'm coming from. I come over here, then I run over here, and you'll never catch up with me. Because I'm led by the Spirit.
Right.
And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to be a repeat. It won't have to be every day. It won't have to be every service. You move as God moves. That's what I said. When the song leader's up here, I'm expecting that that's God. And as he's directing, that's God. And I'm expecting that the congregation is God. And when you get up to say something or read something or sing something, that's God. And then when the preacher gets up, that's God. And see, it's God in the entire body, in the entire service. And we all walk out, and you don't walk out with your feeling hurt. They didn't let me get up. There were so many people, I never got up. Well, thank God there were so many people. Remember the time when nobody was getting up? Remember the time the song leaders had to pump you up? Now the song leader's like, can I sing a song? But that's the way it should be. Because see, what the song leader's got to understand, he still has control. Just like I know. I can control this whole place from right over there in that organ. Sit down. Shut up. Don't talk. You talk. You sing. Don't sing. I can do that from right over there. I can do it. But I sit back and I watch. Because I want to see the body moving. And the same with the song leaders. Oh, they might get stirred up, and I would expect them to be. I expect everybody to come in here stirred up. And I expect the song leader to say, well, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. You can get up. Don't get up. Nope. We're going to sing this. And the song leader's like, man, I got another song I want to sing. Well, sing it. You're the leader.
Amen.
That's the leader's job. If God tells you to sing it, don't let the congregation overrun you.
Come on. Amen.
They're not the leader. Right. You don't have the tail wagging a dog. That's leaders. That's what leadership is about. I don't let y'all tell me what to preach. I would embarrass you if you try to tell me what I need to preach. You won't do it twice. I had a brother do that with me one time, and I wore him out so bad. I said, don't you ever come in here and try to tell me what to preach. I'll preach whatever God says, and don't you ever do that again.
Right.
Yeah. All got to be that way.
Amen.
If God says, get up, don't let nobody stop you. But if the song leader says, sit down, recognize leadership.
Right.
And say, but I'm burning. Sit down. I'd rather you obey God. Because you know what? You might luck up and the pastor might have compassion. And he might get up and say, oh, Mel, come on up and sing your song. But don't push him. All right. Where am I at? Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. This is talking about that first husband. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. You have to be born again. Your first nature, your soul, has to die. You can't even be put in service until it does. And if you get in service and your soul hasn't been changed, you aren't doing nothing but edifying yourself. The body will get nothing out of it. First husband must die. Now, and it was natural, Brother Branham said, associated with death. Your first husband that had rule over you and your nature by birth, by natural birth, natural, you love the world because you are the world, a part of the world. That's right. Congregation said amen. Your desire was by nature to love the world which you are a part of. You're a part of nature. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. And that's your natural thing. That's the reason you have to be born again. You have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with it. You can't just say, well, I'll divorce him. I'll hang him up here until occasion. No, sir. No writing of divorcement. He dies. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. You have to be reunited again with another nature. Your soul is the nature of God if you're born again. If you're not born again, it's the nature of the world. That right there is where your desires come from. And that's the one you need to watch. Because if that soul desires the world, then you've never been born again. I got to say it. People think it's hard to discern whether somebody's born again or not. It's not really that hard. Just be a fruit inspector. See what they do with the word. When the word comes forth, do they eat it? Do they put it in their life? Do they apply it? Or do they just say, I don't believe that? stomp out. I don't like this one. I don't like that one. I don't want to be here. I don't want to, or in and out of church. You know, don't pay them no attention. That first husband's got to die. Now, the last part of it is ready for work. See, after all those other things are done, when you're ready for work, you're going to be able to get the job done then. Luke chapter 24, verse 48, "And ye are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Don't just run out. Don't go out there trying to do something. Get out of the way. God wants you out of the way. Jesus didn't even want the disciples to go preach until after they got power. I don't want you to go out and preach until you got power. I don't want you getting up here in a pulpit and doing all this stuff and you're not even born again. I don't want people who are not born again up here.
That's right.
You don't have nothing to say to the bride. You can't tell me nothing. You never been born again. Are you going to tell me that all you're going to do is come up here and tell me about some good living? Something you've done, something you've accomplished. I don't need that. I need somebody who's been born again. I need somebody who's going to tell me what it is like to be born again. I need somebody going to tell me what happens when the word gets in me. And you can only say that if it's happened to you. If you have not gone in that little room, you can't tell what's happened in there. That third pull was personal. It was God and you in that little room together. And that's God, the word, the revelation being expressed out through you. That's what it is. Now, read this. I got to wrap it up here. It's 12 o'clock. Brother Branham said, "And so it is in the spiritual realm. It's water. Justification by faith, believing in God, receiving Him as your personal Savior." I'm glad Brother Branham still used that because I use it all the time. Amen. People don't hear it anymore. Personal Savior. And being baptized. Second is sanctification of the Spirit. That God cleanses that spirit from all elements of the world and desires of the world. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and gives the new birth and fills up that sanctified vessel. See, Brother Brown was trying to break down the order of how things go. For instance, this is what I want to get to. For instance, like this. Now, I told you, what you don't believe, lay aside. Take the pie. Brother Brown said about the pie, he said, if you don't want to eat the whole pie, spit the cherry out. Eat the pie, just spit out the cherry. He was trying to say, if you don't believe what I'm preaching, don't worry about the parts that you don't believe. Just take the rest of it. But I'm telling you this morning, believe it all. Eat the whole pie. There are no cherry pits in this pie. I ate a piece of pie sister gave me one time, had a cherry pit in there. I busted my tooth, which was already busted. You don't have to worry about that with God's pie. Notice now, a glass is laying out in the chicken yard. You don't just pick it up and put it on your table and fill it up with water or milk. No, by picking it up, it's justification. Cleansing it is sanctification. Because that's the Greek word, sanctify. Is a compound word which means cleaned and set aside for service. Before you're born again, you are just set aside for service. Until you're born again, He can't use you. Not in service, for service. Then when you feel it, it is put into service. When you are born again is when you can really testify. When you are born again is when you can really talk about the hope that lies within you. When you are born again, you can help somebody else who is struggling with their new birth. When I got born again, I was helping other brothers because they were, when I come in this message, brothers were like, I don't know what it is. Do we read all this? Do we read? They would tell us, they would send us to reading books and reading this and praying and doing, they had us jumping through hoops and doing all this stuff. And when I got my new birth, I realized that it's just a clear understanding. And then when I talked to my brothers, I was like, just a clear understanding. What are you looking for? Well, I want to see, this is what people want. I want to feel the Holy Ghost coming in me. I want to feel And I'm like, it comes without one sensation. You're not even going to know when the Holy Ghost got there until after it's there. And because we don't know what to look for, when it comes, we don't even know it's there.
Amen.
You sit up there, and here I had brothers who were full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Had a clear understanding.
Right.
But still waiting in the short lines, thinking, I need the, before I know that it's there. I said, well, that's not the Word of God. The Word of God said the Holy Ghost is a clear understanding. Jesus said he'll take a mind and he'll show it unto you. If you have a clear understanding, you've repented, you've been baptized, and you have a clear understanding, the Holy Ghost is living and dwelling in you. Whether you feel it or not. When the Holy Ghost gets in you, then you are put in service. Then he can use you. Then you can go and do what he wants to do. Then you can be, and see, a lot of people use Isaiah's scripture there that to think that they use it when they anoint preachers a lot of times. They use that scripture for anointing and blessing the preachers when they go out in their ministry. But it's really for all of us.
Amen.
That anointing falls on the whole body.
Oh, yeah.
And the prescription is the same for the entire body.
Right.
Repent, be baptized, and be filled. When you're filled, you can be given out. I don't give out an empty glass of water. It's not even a water glass until I put water in it. I might make it orange juice. I might make it milk. God can use you for whatever you want. Everybody thinks just because you get up and get anointed that you're a preacher. God may not want you to be a preacher. He just might want you to be a turned on part of the body. But be happy to be that. Get up and testify of the hope that lies within you wherever you're at. If God's got a ministry for you, it'll manifest. If God don't, it'll manifest. We get worried about the manifestations. Don't worry about the manifestations. Be still.
Amen.
God's got it. He knows what he's doing to everybody in this body.
Amen.
He ain't worried about it. We get all nervous and, oh, well, if I get up, that's going to make me a preacher. No, it's not. If I don't tell you you're a preacher, you ain't a preacher.
Amen.
You say, well, how do you know? I'm the watchman on the wall. So don't you worry. Testify all you want. Read scripture all you want. Get behind the pulpit all you want. But if I never tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you're a preacher, then don't even worry about it. Just flap your wings and just crow as loud as you can. I want you to enjoy your salvation. And it's fun being under the anointing. It's fun to be anointed by God. It's fun to get into scripture and into quotes and to find something that ties that you come and bring back to the body. It's like, hey, look what God showed me. That's great. That's what I want to see. That's what I expect. That's what got tickled about the brother. They were all excited and reading scriptures and reading the quotes. And I said, looky here. These brothers are actually reading their Bible and reading Brother Branham's books. I thought, if I ain't got nothing else accomplished, I got that accomplished. But it's good. And what you found out is that by doing that, it doesn't help us. It helps you. It helps you get ready for the service, just like we preachers do. And when we come in here, we're ready for the service. And you come in here, you're ready for the service. We think we're going to have church.
Amen.
Not church. That's what we want.
Amen.
Get out of the way. God wants you to get out of the way. He wants the preachers. He wants the congregation. He wants the brothers. He wants the sisters to get out of the way and let him have it. That's all he wants.
Amen.
You think he wants your knowledge? No. You think he wants your education? No. You think he wants your reading? No. He just wants you to let him have the body. He can use the body to do whatever he wants.
Amen.
I'm not going to read it because I'm closing, but Paul, Saul, on the road to Damascus, he was called of God. And he had to get rid of his thinking. He was a very smart, educated man, but he had to die to himself. And God blinded him, sent him down the road. So go down there and I'll show you what to do. And he went down there. And that was over here in Acts. Wait a minute. Oh, I've done it now. I went somewhere and I don't know where I went. Oh, it's looking weird. Okay. I think so, but I was just wondering. I like to be sure. Acts chapter 22. It's Acts 22. And that's when he was down on the road to Damascus and the Lord struck him down. And he said, and I said, what should I do? See, here's Paul. Now, here's a man that's smart, educated, killing Jews. He's killing Christians, and he's doing his thing. And God, he didn't know that God was going to use him. See, you never know what God's going to do with you. We always think we know, but we don't. And we all prepare ourselves like we're going to be the best of whatever we think God's going to do. God don't even want it. Matter of fact, the things that you think you're going to do, God don't even want. Acts 22, chapter verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me, and I fell into the ground and heard a voice say unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And I said, and I answered, Who art thou, Lord? He knew it was God. And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecute. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. Isn't that strange? God knows how to only talk to his people. And I said, What should I do, Lord? See, there you go. What should I do? That's all you can do. Say, Lord, offer yourself. And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. He just offered the body. He offered himself. He forgot. He laid down his tradition. He laid down his ideal. He laid down his thinking. He laid down his education. He laid down his past. Y'all got to do the same thing. We got to do the same thing. Lay all that aside. Say, Lord, what must I do? Here am I, Lord. Send me. That's what Isaiah said. And that's what we've got to say. He just wants us to get out of the way so that he can do what he wants to do. The grace of God is the gift of God. And won't read it, Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. And Brother Branham said, I want to get down this quote because I got a couple of them here, but I'm only going to read it, one or two. Brother Branham said, now, as a gift, now, I'm going to tell you a secret as I leave, and so am I. You've been sweet and kind. I've never exactly expressed this I know of public before. Brother Branham, what is the gift? It's a gift of knowing how to get William Branham out of the way so Jesus Christ can live through that through a vessel. Just getting yourself out of the way. That's all God wants. He's not worried about titles. He's not worried about positions. We do that. I went to a church. They had head usher board, ushers, auxiliaries, choir leaders, assistant to the choir leaders. They had titles for everybody. God didn't worry about that. He just wants you to humble yourself and lay yourself out and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing. I'm willing. And if you can get out of the way and do that, God can do whatever he wants in you. In Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not me anyway. It's not you anyway. We're sitting in these benches, but you know what? All I'm looking at is a bunch of empty vessels. My poor milk in one, orange juice in another, water in another, apple, Larry Clarice likes cranberry juice in another. You know, God can use, but the thing is, he can use you for whatever he wants if you just present the vessel. If you can just get out of the way. That's the real gift. The gift is get out of the way, not bringing your talent. God doesn't need your talent. He wants your gift. And that gift is to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Paul said, what can I do? Isaiah said, send me, Lord. We should be saying, Lord, send me. Where is he going to send you? To work. To school.
Yes.
To home. Amen. To the library. To the grocery store. To the mechanic shop.
Right.
Here am I, Lord. Send me. Get out of the way. Let him do it. He has people he has to meet. Jesus said, I need to go by way. It's a man. But he has ways of getting around, but the way God gets around is through us. So what he wants is for us to get out of the way so that he can do what he wants to do through us. Three things in order that God can use you. You first have to confess. Then there's a cleansing of your soul. And then you're ready to be put in service. Then he can use you. This body should be on fire. Should be popping up and God using from different angles. Should be bringing scriptures and quotes that ties in with the message. That they didn't know what I was going to preach today. But it's just another witness that God's trying to let you see I'm in the body. Just get out of the way. and let him do with you. If you've got talent, use your talents for him. Sing for him, play for him, do whatever for him. Just get out of the way. Well, I don't think they need me. They got enough. Get out of the way. We got three sung leaders. We don't need to get out of the way. You know, I asked Isaiah, get up and do sung leading with the brothers. I said, get with these brothers and you help them out. Rotate it through you guys. And that's just him saying, here am I, Lord.
Amen.
Say, well, we got enough. We don't. If God said we need another, we got another one. If we need another preacher, God has provided. If we need more singers, God will provide. If we need somebody to read a quote or scripture, God will provide. We just need to learn and realize that you're the vessel he wants to use. He might pour milk in you one day and water in you the next. You might get up and preach and burn the house down and never get up again. I told Jeremiah, I said, now I'm narrowing it down now, not in numbers, as far as brothers getting up, because I had brothers wanting to get up Wednesday. And I said, no, I think what I'm going to do, Scott is supposed to be getting up, and Jeremiah's getting back up. I got to get him up, but he don't get lazy. So, but I said, I don't need five or six up now. I said, I'll get one or two here and there. Because, see, I'm not a man that you're not boxing me yet. So I have them up. And I had some brothers already said interested in, hey, I can. I thought, okay, that's good. Good to know. Don't get your feelings hurt because I can call you. But if God moves on me to call you, you've already told me. I'm like, okay, I hear you. Now let's see what God says. He might not want milk in you today. He might want water in you today. And see, be flexible. See, y'all need to be flexible like me. That is, you know, it's however God wants. You said, but we had five brothers up last week and four the week before, and then we got three, and then now you're only going to let one up? That's right. Thought you had me, didn't you? Y'all already getting another rut. We're going to have five brothers tonight now. No! We're going to get what God wants. Just be willing. Get out of the way. Let him do what he wants. He can use the body, and as you all can see now, you can be used as God wants to use you. But just be willing. And when God calls your card, get up and say, Lord, what do you want, water or milk? Or orange juice? What do you want? What do you want me to do? Just get out of the way. Let him use the glass for what he wants. And then he will get the glory out of everything. If we weren't careful, we'd end up with the glory, and God sitting back with nothing. Saying, my, we've done a great job. And that's what's wrong with the church world right now. They think they can do this without God. I can't do this without God. I can't preach without God. I'm not a preacher. It takes him. If he doesn't come, I can't preach. Just because you want me to come and preach don't mean I'm coming, because I don't come just because I can say I want to preach. I've always told Jeremiah, I said, Jeremiah, just because somebody invites you don't mean you got to go. Because I know if I go, God's got to go with me, because I'll get up here and stutter around here and look at you like I'm cross-eyed. I can't do it. I'm waiting on his leadership. I'm waiting on him to lead me. And when he leads me, I'll do what he wants to do. And when he tells me to do something, I'll do it. When he tells me to stop, I will. And you'll say, but I thought you just said. I did. But you're just doing. I know. But how did you? Because God said. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. That's the way God works. God's not going to be cookie cut into something that you don't need. And I think we'll pray. And then we're going to sing, where he leads me, I will follow. Just get out of the way. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be gathered in the house. Thank you for your word. Lord, the greatest thing that we can do is to be able to get out of the way and let you have our lives and do whatever you need to do in us. Thank you for this word, this truth. And Lord, let us just yield ourselves to you as a body and not try to do our own will and not get in some rut and try to figure it out ourselves. But Lord, just cleanse us. Set us aside. Make it to where we can be ready for whatever service you have for us, so that we can turn around and serve you. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the people who listen. And Father, I ask you to be with us and help us to be able to stand and go through those steps in our lives and make sure that we've got everything in its proper place. Thank you for this truth, Lord. It means so much to me. It means everything to us. Bless this body and bring us back together. Thank you, Father, for all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm not sure what key that is. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all.
Put that in F.
Where he leads me, I will follow.
Done great.